At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Everybody, and thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and I'm not at it alone. Mi amigo Big Fizzy is in here with me.
That's right, folks. I'm right here in Skeleton Studios getting ready for opening day this weekend. It's going to be fun. The weather's nice. I am ready. Me and Cam are going to the state fair in a couple weeks. Looking forward to that. There's a good time. There's all the good, I think, not good for you, but good food that they have there.
I think I'm going to fast.
That's a good idea.
I need to fast for weeks. Because, look.
It's a cheat day out of the year, right? Oh, like, how many funnel cakes do you eat a year? For me, I'd say once a year, and it's probably at the state fair.
Once a year. If I'm lucky, once a year. If I can find a place that's got them.
Yeah. Right? I'm glad they don't have them around me.
Oh, like, there's not a store you could go in and just order them on the reg? Like, yeah, go ahead and let me have that sirloin, and I think for dessert, bring me a funnel cake.
That's right. I try to avoid donut shops because I love donuts.
I like them when they're warm.
There's nothing better.
Right? When they're warm,
I'm saying that's one place I have to avoid because I can throw down when it comes to donuts.
And also, I love milk, and I don't drink milk. I haven't drank milk in years, but I had to because it hates me. So that's one of those things. I have to avoid donuts so I don't get into the milk.
Right. Get you some of that Volkmann's chocolate milk. Now you're talking, man.
Now you're going crazy. Hey, look.
I hope everybody's doing good in North Carolina, Georgia, sure. Florida. The hurricane, I know, it's killed, I think, like 64 people so far. There's a lot of people that are missing. So our heart goes out to you out there.
To all of you. People caught in the storms, people caught in the wildfires. Man, it has been a wild time.
And I don't understand because we don't really deal with hurricanes where we live. I'm not saying that Texas doesn't have them, obviously, like in Galveston and stuff. We're so far north, by the time they get up here, it's usually just a lot of rain. But we do have to deal with tornadoes. I don't understand the people where they tell you to leave and they don't leave. And then something bad happens and you're like,
dude,
they told you.
Water. Everyone knows, I've been in the water business for a long time, right? Water is a very dangerous thing. That's why I don't really care for it. I like to ingest it. I like to use it to clean my body. That's about it. I don't want to play in it. I like to pull stuff out of it.
I know Floridians, you see memes every time a hurricane comes about all the Florida people, right? And they have parties and stuff. I get it.
Our friends in Florida are wild.
Very, very wild. I text Micah Hanks up in Asheville, North Carolina, and I did not get a response. I didn't know if it got him, but you said you talked to him yesterday.
I talked to Micah. I talked to the gardener. We talked to Eric. Talked to him. He was up there cooking the one, at Relish. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff. They've had spotty. The trouble is getting like signal up there and trying to get it. And of course, if there's anything, it's crowded with everybody trying to find out about their loved one. So, look, if you're hearing this and you're up there, well, our hearts go out to you.
I mean, we're going to be up in Appalachia in just a couple weeks.
We're not supposed to say anything. Leave it alone.
Okay. All right. We'll keep surprise. It. I didn't know it was a spoiler.
It's a surprise. Spoiler alert. I've got something else for you, Brad.
Okay.
I've got something. One of your favorites. Lon loves me. Look, if y'all haven't watched Netflix and watched the new Mothman and the Unsolved Mysteries just to support Lon, then what are you doing with your life? Come on, get yourself together.
I agree.
Get on there and watch it. Check this out. Get my glasses on because Kyle's going to love this. Red-eyed. You ready? Red-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
Upright. Goat. Human hybrid
encountered
near Whitehall, New York.
Okay, tell me more.
This is what we've got going down. It says, I've seen some posts on Reddit and thought about, sending this to you. I live near Whitehall, New York. One night, my partner was taking out the garbage, came back inside, startled and a little shaken. They said that they had seen a creature that looked like a fox or a coyote, but that it had stood up on its hind legs, so they booked it back inside. Fast forward to about a month later, I'm outside on my porch smoking a cigarette.
There we go.
Here we go again.
I got to take up cigarette smoking, man.
For real. You'd look a lot cooler if you did. We have a small plot next to our house that has a tow-behind landscaping trailer permanently parked on it about 20 foot away from the house. After a while of standing outside, I get the sudden and overwhelming feeling like something's watching me, a feeling of danger. Now, it should be noted that like most people up here, I'm usually carrying a gun on me. There's a lot of wildlife and predators, so I kind of check on my surroundings.
Staying strapped.
That's right. When I looked over to that trailer, I saw that there was something the size of a large dog lying in the grass. Mind you, it's a clear night with a not quite full moon, and the grass was uncut long, but not like a meadow, so about 8 inches high. So I had a really, really good view of this thing. I'm going to stop right there. I love how you, the distinction that 8 inches high is a meadow.
Yeah.
I love that.
I didn't know that.
And I love the fact that they use the word meadow.
That's true.
I'm just like pasture, right? But meadow's a much better word.
Well, it's New York. They talk so different
better,
up there.
So much better. So now I know never to approach a random animal bedded down at night. So I just kind of watched it for a second. Even like, in the
hey,
light of the
moon.
Hey,
what's that over there? Forget about it.
Here we go. Some of your family. Even in the light of the moon, its outline and coat were pitch black, unnaturally contrasting against the ground it lay on. Then it looks up, and it has piercing red eyes.
Nope. That's when you start shooting.
What the hell? And I put my hand on the revolver. And then it stood up. It stood up on its hind legs. I pulled my piece and fanned it. Put six. No, I'm kidding. So the only way, says the only way I can describe the legs is if it's like that of a goat human hybrid from the Narnia movie, but with the torso like a hybrid of a man and a canine. It also had horns. It was taller than me, and I'm 6'1". It didn't even need to take a step. I backed away to the door, locked and bolted it, and spent the rest of the night wondering what I had just seen. Now, I'll admit, I'm a religious man, but that thing didn't fit the description of any djinn I've ever heard of. It's to this day one of the few things in my life I cannot explain. We've installed security cameras since then, but now the lot is under construction and we haven't seen this thing since. I don't know what I saw that night, but I intend to find out one way or another. I want to go into the forest near the plot and look for evidence. But I'm unsure what I'm really going to look for. See.
I think of the movie Mississippi Burning with Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Remember when Gene Hackman's like, is that gun just for show or do you get to shoot it every once in a while? Like, you got the strap on. What are you carrying it for if you're not going to use it? If there's a time to use it.
That's the time.
That's the time when something glowing red eyes stands up. Yeah. There's no better time. You know what I'm saying?
If there's a time to use it.
That's holy it, cow. Huh? No, and definitely don't go looking for it.
6'1". 6'1", and the thing's bigger than you. Look, hey, my hat's off to you for keeping it together and not letting lead fly.
Yeah, me too. I'd have been like the ghost of Mr. Chicken when Don Knotts is shaking.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Showing my age again.
People trying to pull it out and shoot yourself in the leg.
People are like, what is he talking about?
If you haven't seen those old films,
well, speaking of red eyes, check this out. An Oklahoma teen wakes up to get a drink of water. When he returns to his room, he looks out his window and he sees an unexplained red-eyed humanoid.
I had red eyes in Oklahoma one time.
I bet. Says, I saw something that I still can't explain. I was 15 years old. I'm 47 now, so a long time ago. What are you saying, man? I'd been asleep on a school night. I woke up like my mouth was sandpaper dry. I went to the bathroom for a glass of water. And when I came out, I faced my bedroom's west window. We lived on 16 acres, and the only space around the house was mowed. Everything else grew wild. It was around 2 or 3 a.m. The first thing I saw was the reflective eyes. They were red. It was not brilliant like a red light shining, but more muted like a reflection. There wasn't anything on that side of the house. I went to the window to see what could be out there. That's when I saw it. Standing perfectly still where the yard met the tall brush, standing slightly sideways, I could see the front arm hanging down. So this is, I'm picturing like the movie Signs. Remember the cornfields and stuff? That's what I'm thinking. Instead of corn, though, it's just brush. Standing directly or staring directly at me and staring at my eyes, it did not look like a deer standing on its back legs. We always saw deer on our property. That wasn't it. This was something else. I remember the fear that went through me, overwhelming and hard to breathe because it was watching me. This was pre-internet, so I'd never heard of things like skinwalkers, but I knew what demonic meant, and this thing was that. I could see its breath because it was a cold night, so there was condensation clouds as it exhaled. Other than breathing, it didn't move for a solid 5 minutes. I remember stepping off to the side of my window, hoping to see it still, but it still does not see me. It didn't move. I continued to stare out my window. After a bit, it turned and walked into the tall brush. It walked like a man, unlike a deer standing on its back legs. I was shaking from fear and remember going to sleep in my older brother's room. He annoyed me the following day and asked why I was in his room. I told him what I saw and I described it in detail. After getting ready for school, we went outside to that side of the house. We could see the path the creature took away from the house. Just some brush that was pushed down as someone or something walked through the grass. It hadn't been touched in a long time, but it was parted. We didn't see any hoof prints. The brush was too tall and thick to see any of that. The brush was about the height of my head, which was probably about 5 foot. This thing stood at least 2 foot taller because I could see its chest and head as it walked away. I recently asked my brother if he remembered that night, and he said he remembers it vividly. I've never seen this creature since. I've seen other odd things, but never anything like this. We lived in Payne County, Oklahoma, near Stillwater. Mike. Crazy. I don't know what he saw, but he kept saying it wasn't a deer. So I don't know if he was, you know, describing something. He didn't want us to think it was a not deer or something like that. But it reminded me of the movie Signs or like Creepers, Jeepers. Like, what was it? I mean, he could see.
What was that? Creepers, Jeepers?
Oh, Jeepers,
I've creepers. Never seen Creepers, Jeepers.
Jeepers, Creepers. Yeah, he could see the breath. That's creepy, man.
And Oklahoma's got some real creepy stuff that they have pop out every now and again. Dog Man.
Absolutely.
Right? The Turkey Hunter Dog Man. Speaking of creepy, were you... This is something I think you're really going to enjoy. Always, like I said, with the headlines, a creepy, bulbous-faced... short-snouted humanoid crouched in corner. That's right.
Okay.
A bulbous, creepy, bulbous-faced, short-snouted humanoid. You're going to dig this right here. It says, this incident happened a couple of weeks after my family and I moved into our new house. It was built in the early 90s on land that used to be a big cornfield for many years. And we were the first family to live in this home. One night, while sleeping in my new bedroom, I awoke to a feeling of absolute sheer terror. I was facing towards my closet and saw something crouching in the corner of my room. It was just sitting there, staring directly at me. I knew it was something very evil because the air in the room felt suffocating and every part of my body was on full alert. I was just a little kid, but to me, this thing looked like a cross between a goblin and a gargoyle. That's the only way I could describe it at the time. Most of its features were obscured, but what I remember most was that it looked like a stunted snout protruding from its face, and it had really big lips. Weird, I know, but that's what I distinctly remember seeing. All I wanted to do was run. So that's what I did. I threw back my covers, praying my legs wouldn't get tangled up in them, jumped out of bed, and bolted down the hallway to my parents' bedroom, screaming and crying. My parents went into my room, turned the lights on, and of course, nothing was there. They were convinced that I had just had a nightmare. I was definitely wide awake. Hands down, one of the creepiest experiences I ever had. They added that the face was fairly large and bulbous looking. The snout was stunted, kind of like maybe the way a pit bull's snout would look, but the face wasn't dog-like. It was very human-looking. The lips ran around the whole mouth. They weren't pursed or anything. They just looked like huge monkey lips that started from underneath, directly underneath the nose, ran along the snout, and then curved up at the corners. It sounds like the Cheshire Cat's what it sounds
like. Yeah.
That's the only way I can describe it. I hope that wasn't more confusing. Thank you, B.
Man. What the heck could that be?
What could you mistake? Now, look, I understand kids' imaginations. You're seeing stuff, stuffed animals, a stack of clothes, all kinds of stuff to see it in detail. Maybe after several years, you've added more detail. Who knows? Or was it something fae-like?
That's what I think.
That was in that field and they lived there on that land and all that. And when that field was finally mowed down, pushed down, and developed for homes, maybe they don't care for that.
That's right.
So yeah. Decided to slip in there and give them a little sneaky scare.
Sounds like a troll to me. It sounds like a troll.
Ooh, speaking of trolls,
let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, you're going to be talking about some road trolls.
Road trolls.
Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, back in my home studio again. I'm all pumped up or hyped up on Topo Chico's Angry Water over here. All by my... Oh, yeah. Oh, that almost got all over the keyboard. That'd have been awesome. This is something I need to talk to y'all about. Of course, I need to talk to y'all about a lot of stuff, right? But this is weird. This was, I say, brought to my attention. I've covered something like this in the past, and several of y'all have reached out over the several months and added to this. And then somebody had sent me a link to where somebody at Mysterious Universe had written about this. But I had the original stuff put back and saved back because I didn't know what to do with it. And then this popped up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to discuss it because there's really no way of putting it into a segment, really like a long storytelling approach to it, because there's not a lot or enough, let's say, things that happen along this. It makes no sense. This is one of those anomalies that it shouldn't exist. I don't know why, like we always say, why Bigfoot feels okay, Dogman doesn't feel okay. I guess because there's a blending of the human element, the Bigfoot element. There's some sort of hybrid blending of this. And I don't even mean like a Neanderthal or wild man element to this. It's just really strange. Now, a while back, and I can't even tell you when it would be. I don't remember if it was on the Elite Show like this one or if it was on the Monday Show. I did a story about a woman and her daughter, and it had happened to them, right, they said, right before Halloween. And I'm sure some of y'all are going to remember this, but said that it was in October of 2008. And it took place in eastern Tennessee in Campbell County. That's what I've got in my notes here. I'm trying to remember most of it because I don't remember what I did with it. But I remember what pretty much it was, is that they were going I guess she's going back to see her mother and taking the daughter with them. They were late for a dinner. They'd usually had like Sunday dinner, which, you know, like a lot of families get together and do. And so she was, you know, winding through the back roads out there in the country. And I remember, and y'all will probably remember this, because she said that she had seen something that she had first thought was like a bag of leaves or a stuffed dummy, something like that. And you remember she said that she'd seen the backside of it, that it was sitting like on the side of the road, and she had to move out to not hit this thing. And she said that it actually looked like it was like half laying in the road, or kind of, you know, just like something stretched out in the highway when she went down through there. And she said that the daughter looked out the passenger window and got a really, really good look at it, but said that it had terrified her daughter like completely. And the woman said that what she had initially seen, that she thought was just nothing more than like a Halloween decoration around that time. And she described it. I remember her going on, and she describes it as something like, and we used to do this as kids whenever it was Halloween. I remember being at my grandparents and making like stuffed dummies out of my grandfather's like overalls or, you know, out of like the long sleeve shirt stuff, just creepy stuff, burlap faces, things to make it creepy. And the mom had said that she thought it was like a scarecrow or a stuffed dummy. You remember me talking about this, but said that it had a very like shiny black hair, and that it also, it went like down the straight of its back, almost like all this. Like it wasn't, she said it looked like it was wearing a coat, but it wasn't. Said it was hard to explain. Like she didn't know if it was hair or if it was clothing or what it was, but that she thought it was a dummy. And she said it wasn't until they got past it that she said it turned. And she said, as it slowly turned, she could see this, you know, wrinkled, gnarly face, and, you know, like troll like, which is, you know, brings up the idea that she keeps calling it a troll. And even the daughter kept calling it a troll, said, "We just saw a troll, mommy. You know, we just saw a troll." And I remember the mom was very adamant about the fact that she said it, its face reminded her of like a rotten apple. And I remember that. And for some odd reason, like I said, it stuck with me and I kept thinking about it. But when you give it around Halloween, yeah, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to really nail down something. And I don't know why Halloween would be any other different. I don't know why people feel the necessity to try to pull crazy stuff. Like, why don't they dress up like that any other day of the year? And if you're going to, you know, try to make people have, you know, some false sightings or just something odd happen to them, wouldn't it make more sense to make it more realistic if it happened in July, or if it happened in, you know, I don't know, in September or something, but not on Halloween? Halloween is one of those ones that I've always said, if you were going to try to commit a murder, you'd want to do it in a haunted house during Halloween, because it would be way too easy. And, you know, or any time on Halloween, it'd just be easy to get away with. And they've made movies and TV shows about it, and it would be something along those lines. But the idea of a troll, I don't know why, for me, I don't know why, like I said, I don't understand with myself why Bigfoot seems plausible. Why, I mean, even Dogman, it's still one of those things that fascinates me, but it, for some reason, it just, Bigfoot seems, I guess it's because we've been indoctrinated for all these years with Bigfoot lore. Bigfoot seems plausible. The Fey people, the little people of the woods. You know, there's certain things that you're like, oh, yeah, I can understand that. Mokele and Mbembe in the Congo, you know, these dinosaurs and ancient relic animals, you know, giant lizards and giant snakes and all that stuff seems, but why a troll? Is it through the mythology that we've been handed down and the books like written by Tolkien and such that we have this romanticized idea that, you know, that all these things are real, that everything that Tolkien wrote about is real, or everything that's been brought in and about like these crazy White Walkers from Game of Thrones could be real. And now we're dealing with what seems, and I need to get Nick on the show to talk about his new book, but what seems to be a thought, a tulpa, or, you know, that we've, some sort of thought form that we've created with the Slender Man. Is it, after all this time, these things maybe weren't real and they were told as old wives' tales and told as folklore and myth to try to keep people safe and keep people out of the woods and take care of things, but we've created them over all this time. Our folklore and things have created these creatures, and that, so these things are real, and not only real, but out of place, the fact that they know, like they know. I mean, how sad would it be that you were created with something and you have no idea about your creation? You've just woken up in this realm. It would be like if you just all of a sudden woke up with no prior memory of being born, of your parents, of your job, of your life, of anything. All of a sudden you are the exact age you are right now listening to this podcast, and at the snap of a finger
you just opened your eyes and you don't know what you're doing here. You don't know why. It'd be like all the amnesia, except there is no way of finding out because you did not exist until this very second. And when you read on these things, some of these sightings, and I'm going to get into them because there's a fellow named Jerry Coleman, and Jerry Coleman wrote some books, and he wrote a book. He had two books, actually, Strange Highways and More Strange Highways. Now, those are the books that you can check out. But in the original book, Strange Highways, he had a section called Road Trolls. And y'all can look all this stuff up and find it out, but it's very interesting because there's not a lot on it. Like, you dig into these, what he calls road trolls or even troll sightings, you're not going to get a lot. And I don't even know if that's the right word to use. Would be roads. That's a funny word. Roads. No, nobody's been listening to the old David Spade. Was it Tommy Boy that he's doing it? So the road trolls, it's very odd because, like I said, you know, we, for some reason, we love to, you know, we have to put a name and a label on something to try to understand it so we can just throw it all in there. But the thing that gets me the most about these, and it's going to stand out to y'all, is they've been seen wearing clothes, and they've also been seen about, it's, they call it a half creature, a half beast, half man, and it has a peg leg. So wouldn't that necessitate the fact of major intelligence? I mean, we don't see animals in the wild like chimpanzees or great apes don't lose a limb and fashion one out of something. Like, they're not born with a missing limb and then fashion one out of something. So this would necessitate some sort of intelligence unless it was created in the thought form to look like this. So in his book, Jerry writes about a fellow that he knows named Gary Durbin. And he talks about meeting Gary Durbin all the way back in 1969 when they both worked in Illinois together at a tire factory. And he said that Durbin was an avid outdoorsman and that, you know, they were real good friends because they was no BS, right? He wasn't into that kind of thing. You know, he didn't mix words and he also, you know, didn't believe in a bunch of nonsense and silliness. But he tells a story that Durbin relayed to him that took place back in 1981. And the fact that Gary had went to what was Tyson Mountain there in Arkansas to pick up a loads of chicken. So he had went from working, you know, in a tire factory to being a truck driver. Now, when I brought up this creature, this peg-legged creature, this thing has been reported, and especially in his books, it's been seen from here in the Lone Star State, in the great state of Texas, all the way down to Florida. There's been more than one sighting. Like I said, it's not just like a, you know, a one-off. You know, sometimes people see, we've talked about flying humanoids, giant moth-like glowing humanoids or giant manta rays, and it's almost like a one-off. There's a handful of those. It's kind of like this. But, I mean, even some of those are just a single being. Like, nobody else has ever seen anything like this. So there were a few of these, but he's telling the story that he was picking this up in Arkansas and he was going to Chicago. I'm going to take these chickens up there. And the story that Gary was telling his buddy there, Mr. Jerry, Gary telling Jerry, the story that he told Jerry was that everything went well. He got up there. He got loaded up. They were waiting on him. It was no big deal. Everything got loaded up. The chickens were all in great health. You know, and so I'm assuming that maybe he's taking them up there to be, of course, processed or whatnot, or maybe they were just, you know, good processed already chicken, but that he was, you know, going to head up there and that he had, you know, rested well, everything was going good, and that he was going to be into Chicago early that morning. Now, of course, this is 1981, so there's no way everybody's got, you know, CB radios. That's about it. So if there was a problem, if you'd had a flat or if you'd had a breakdown and you had to wait and get it repaired or there was anything like that back in the day, and I'm sure there's a lot of truck drivers listening to this, I'll probably attest, back in the day, since you didn't have cell phones or ways, lots of times you would have to use phones. So you would get to the truck stop. You'd have to call your bosses. You'd have to call and kind of let them know. You would log it in your log books, but it would be better to check them in. So if you didn't have any way of doing it per CB or whatnot, you would just make a phone call, let them know, hey, I'm at this. Hey, I'm at that. You know, this is what's going on. So Gary Durbin starts telling this story that he's winding through the mountains, okay? And that he's got to go, you know, you can't haul ass down through the mountains like that. You overload the brake system. That's why they have runaways in Colorado, all these things where they can run off in the gravel. So you've got to be very careful about what you're doing whenever you're driving, doing all this stuff. So he says that he witnessed something. He caught a glimpse that he thought was more like a homeless guy, right? And he's like a very unkempt, homeless-looking fella up in these mountains. And he said he was hairy, and he had a peg leg. And he said the wild thing was he was just standing kind of right off the side of the road, not by anything, you know, nothing. And he said the first thing he was thinking about was, he goes, now I'm talking about, this is what Durbin was saying. He's like, I'm talking about it was so tight that they were rock faces in these mountains, the way it's carved along the side, and that you could tell where the trailer on being pulled by the 18-wheeler, of course, had rocked over and touched the walls, not his personally, but you could see these marks. And I'm sure people have driven through the mountains have even seen it happen. Wind blowing, if you're going too fast, you cut it too tight, it bumps, this whole deal. So he said, this guy, what he called, what he thought was a mountain man, just a really old mountain man, was standing there on the corner of one of those tight turns. And Durbin said, man, he goes, I guess this old fella is wanting to get ran over. Like, he's wanting to punch his ticket. He's done whatever it is. So he goes on to the truck stop, right? And he uses the bathroom, all this stuff, buys him some coffee, gets him some snacks, whatever. You know, phoned his boss, this whole thing. Was no big deal. And said he gets, fills up, goes ahead and fills up. And everything was good, right? I'm sure he weighs in, does whatever he has to do. He said he got over into Missouri and said he had stopped in a rest area there. And he was going to do, you know, filled out his logbook and all that stuff. Just, you know, he was making good time. It was no big deal. He said he'd only been back into Missouri after he'd seen that thing back in the mountains there at Tennessee or whatnot. He'd only been in there in Missouri and was just chilling. And he said he'd only been on the side of the road for, you know, not even a half hour, less than half an hour, just chilling. He said, so he'd been walking around the truck, stretching and all. So he goes, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. So he gets back up, gets going, takes off. Now, he says that a couple of miles down the road, after he's already left all that, a couple of miles down the road, he notices the same dude, this same peg-legged old man that's just standing there, just hanging out. And he said he started to think these things out. He goes, how, you know, he's like, I don't understand how he could have, you know, been ahead of me, this whole thing. He said the only way it could have happened was if he had, you know, gotten stopped at the truck stop, somebody had picked him up and drove him and then let him out of here. They just so happened to be on the same path, you know, that this is what was happening, and that he was up there in front of him and just got let off and was walking. Now, here's what's odd. That was the whole thing. But he goes on to say that from that point, from 1981 all the way to 1996, Gary had seen this same hairy man five separate times, this old peg-legged old man, five separate times in Missouri. And these are all together in Texas, Central Texas, it says here, of course, in Florida, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri. So a total of five times. So he said that he started carrying his camera. And he goes, now, here's a funny thing. He's like, you would carry it hoping, like, I'm going to get a picture of him, right? You're thinking, I'm going to carry this thing with me no matter what. But it would go on from 81 to 96 to where you would forget. You start trying to find it when you see him. And you can't find it. He even says in the book that he had spilt something on it at one time and that he had tried to get up and tried to take a picture and it wouldn't take because the buttons were sticky. I mean, there was always something, but it's like we always say, if you went into the woods trying to find Bigfoot and carried a camera, you may carry that camera for months, if not years, every day till one day when you try to get a shot at it and take a good picture of it, you're not going to have the camera. You're not going to get it up fast enough, things like that. So that's what he was talking about. And he even said at one point in time, he had pulled over to try to get a picture of this thing and it was gone. It had just vanished. So he says himself that he's not sure, you know, he's like, maybe I was seeing this thing. He's like, maybe I was going crazy, you know, just out of my mind to make sure, you know, I was just wasn't seeing this stuff, because he did this. He drove a truck for years. But he had made notes about it. He jotted it down. So, you know, on your own, you've got a long time to think about this. And that's what he did. He said that he thought about this thing. And he goes, now, I'm not talking a little old man. He said this thing was at least 6.5 foot tall. And he goes, it looked to be his right leg, just below the knee was the peg leg part. And he said it also looked like it was legitimately made out of wood. And he said, now, I always started seeing it, of course, in the evenings, right at dusk. And he said it would only move his head a little bit, which sounds just like what the woman saw in Tennessee again, right? Now, we were talking about the same thing up there in like I said, up there in Tennessee when she was talking about around Halloween. Now, she said it would only, he said it would only move its head, you know, very little, would move around. So we already know that we've got a woman in 2008 that had had a sighting of something, but she didn't mention the peg leg. And then he's talking about it would always be around a rest area. Or a truck stop, just past it. Now, he did mention this, and this is what was interesting here. When he starts talking about the clothes, he said it had ripped or torn clothes. And he goes, every time it seemed like it was the same clothes. Like, it was wearing the exact same outfit that he had seen from 81 all the way up until the last time he saw it in 1996. He also said that it had long hair and a beard, folks. A beard. So I'm asking now, is it a troll or is it like a giant? I don't remember seeing any trolls or any orcs or anything with a beard, you know, that was that size. It always seems like trolls are either great, great big and clean shaven or smaller and clean shaven. They don't seem to be. So I don't understand the idea of the road troll or the troll eyed aspect of it. But he did say that it was bearded and long haired. And that, now here's an interesting folk, a little tidbit, folks. He states that every time he saw this thing, it was carrying what he described as a hobo pouch. So I'm picturing like a bandana on a stick, you know, got it all tied up over its shoulders. Now, Jerry goes on to talk about, because he was actually did some truck driving himself, which is what had gotten him into this. He had gone on to talk about, he started interviewing some more people, just, you know, and I don't even know how you would go about making that initial, you know, opening statement to talk to somebody. He'd be like, hey, you ever seen a peg-legged troll on the side of the road? You know, without somebody coming to tie you up and drag you off. But he said that he had talked to several other drivers and that several of them had actually admitted to seeing this peg-legged person. Some of them were out around Dallas, said some of them were out, you know, around, they sat them up outside of St. Louis. He talks about a bunch of them. Now, some of them even come from Florida, but that they were, everybody that saw them all said the same thing, that it was peg-legged and very hairy, like a Bigfoot. What I was getting at was nobody's ever reported seeing a one-legged Bigfoot with like a peg leg. Like, it has the dexterity and the sense to carve its own peg leg. And look, I'm sure there's somebody out there listening right now that's been an amputee or was born without a limb. And legs, especially because it holds so much weight as you walk. I don't know enough about it. Like, I don't know enough about like the below the knee, the above the knee, the rubbing, the way, you know, the weight transfer. I mean, I know that I've seen, I've had people, I wouldn't even say friends, just acquaintances, people that I've known that have lost them in motorcycle accidents. And, you know, they talk about after especially getting used to it and all that. And we've made leaps and bounds in all this stuff, too. So I can't imagine like one really legitly carved out of wood, like how it would stay on, how it would be unbelievably uncomfortable. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around what that would be like. So the idea of a 6 to 7 foot tall Bigfoot hobo wearing clothes with a peg leg is insane to me. And I guess I don't understand. For what he's describing is the time slip type stuff, is there's one there and then miles ahead, you know, hours away, you see the exact same thing again. We've covered stuff like that to where it's like slips in the Matrix, deja vu. I saw two black cats. Things along these lines. He even goes on, and there was even comments made in the book where he goes on to talk about people using West Coast turnarounds. You know what those are, folks? It's speed, trucker speed. So that they're like, well, maybe that's what it was. You drive all night. You've been awake all night. You know, you're driving crazy. Maybe that's what it is. And you know what? Maybe it is. Maybe that was some of it. But Jerry says that a lot of these guys he was talking to don't, you know, they didn't do that. And then, of course, now I don't know if it's a thing now. I know that a lot of trucking companies are extremely stringent about their hiring process and their drug testing process because of accidents and insurance and everything that the way they have now. So I'm sure that that could write off some of them. But the problem is this, is there's not a ton of these stories of what's being seen. And it's not just everyday people seeing them. It's truckers. A lot of truckers are seeing this, but we do get into more stories of where everyday people start kind of checking these things out. Now, he does bring up something that's really, really interesting. And what that is the fact that back in the day, and I'm going to say probably in the 70s or 80s, I always think of the 70s with like C.W. McCall and all this, the trucker songs when everything was getting real big with the truck driving, you know, Convoy and what was his other song? That was it. It was Convoy. He had one. And I forgot his doggone name, but he was in Smokey and the Bandit, you know, all this, these truck driving shows and movies and stuff, that was a thing. So the trucking was a big deal. And so people that wanted to become a trucker, right? You wanted to do all this. It's kind of like a pilot that if you started talking crazy, started doing silly things like that, you'd be like, man, we're going to pull this guy's license. This dude's obviously slipping. So, you know, a lot of stuff was, I guess, more based on less open-mindedness and more apt to judge faster, to seem like a crazy person. Now, Jerry goes on to talk about that he interviewed a woman that he only calls her Barbara because it says she didn't want her to have anything messed around with her name, all this stuff. He just calls her Barbara. And he said he interviewed this woman back in 1983, and she tells a story there at her house is where he interviewed her there in Illinois, and said that she had gone on a trip to visit her sister and that her sister lived down in Alabama. And she said it was great, you know, that she said she got down there and, you know, was ready to go, you know, go hang out with her sister, the whole thing. She left early in the morning driving down, said she was going, I think she was going to go to the mall. She was going to go down to the Birmingham Mall area and whatnot and all this stuff. And said, so her and her sister, you know, they've had a great time, so they're going to whip down through there. And they said there's by this mile marker that they call Green Pond, and I guess it's on I-20 and I-59. And that her sister's looking out the window, and her sister says, what the hell is that? And starts pointing. So Barbara starts slowing down. She's looking. He's, you know, like, what's my sis talking about? You know, she said, at this point now, I've backed off the speed. She's like, so I'm like doing 25, 30 miles an hour, you know, just barely moving in reality of what you should be on the interstate, of course. And she said that she looked where her sister was looking, and she said there was this wild, what she describes as a wild looking man. And that it just, they both just went completely silent because she said that it was the way it was standing, the way it was moving was not the normal movement for a human. And I think we've all seen the broken galloping gait or something, like when someone's trying to be scary, grand Halloween, and the way they move is, it's funny how we can instantly pick up on how a human being moves. Just like in you call them, what is it? It's the uncanny valley that they call it when they're trying to do CGI, or whenever you see somebody in like an animal suit, but they don't move properly, like they still have that human being element to it. So you see this, and she was like, what they saw instantly was like, that doesn't look normal. Whatever this thing was does not look normal. So they're both looking at it. So they're both watching. The sister turns, and Barbara said she's watching the rearview mirror looking at this thing. Now, Barbara did go on saying that her husband's 5'10", and that it was quite a bit taller than her husband. Now, she goes on to say, of course, it had the hair, like everything else, long hair, big beard, a whole deal. And she adds again that it was wearing clothes. That this thing was wearing old, ratty clothes, like you would think a beggar would wear on, you know, something along that line. And she's even quoted in saying that the man or whatever it was just looked at us, a look of curiosity, I would call it. Now, she says this, that we both agreed it had a wooden leg or a walking stick in front of its leg that we're not sure. She says, I felt guilty that we didn't call the police to go check this thing out. Now, again, I said, it's really, really strange that there's the clothes and there's the peg leg or the walking stick, which, you know, look, could easily be mistaken driving by at 30 miles an hour and you just glance over and you're already kind of taken aback. You're already a little bit like, what are we looking at? So he said he spoke to Barb again and was talking about this whole thing. And she said that it changed their plans. She said that after seeing this, whatever they had changed, said it ruined the whole day. She said, we didn't go to the mall like we were going to. She said instead they went to a coffee shop after they saw this thing, and her sister sat there and said, just caught up on sister talk, and that was it. Said just was sitting there like the whole thing. And she goes, now, I've never told anybody this. She said, I've never said anything just between me and my sister. She goes, I never really thought it was related to this sighting, but she said, when I returned home 3 hours earlier than they had planned, she said, my sister's son had fallen out of the tree that he was climbing in. So her nephew had fallen. And she said the babysitter was getting ice whenever they walked in. But get a load of this. She said that the son's bone was compound fractured. It was sticking out of the skin. So they had to rush him to the emergency room. And she still believes that, she goes, if I hadn't seen that thing and returned home, she said her son might have laid there and gotten worse. Like, if, you know, because I'm assuming the babysitter's probably young. They don't really give the age of the babysitter. Maybe she couldn't drive. And of course, you know, there's no phones. There was nothing along those lines to be able to get a hold of them. She didn't know what to do. So the way it sounds, so she believes that it was one of those deals that if it hadn't have been for seeing that creature getting shooken up and going home early, that something would have bad could have happened, or worse could have happened to the son if, you know, he'd gone into shock, something along those lines. which is an interesting take on it, which it's always easy, of course, you know, to look back in hindsight and add more to a sighting or, you know, try to validate something in some way. I understand that, but it is very, very odd. Now, there's more. There's some more stuff to it. He says too, Jerry talks about talking to another truck driver. Now, this is the one that I like here. He says this truck driver only gave him his CB handle, his name that he used on the road. And this is back in 2000. So, you know, what are we talking about? 18 years ago that this went down. Now, folks, this truck driver claims that this happened south of DFW. Now, I don't know how to feel about this CB handle being, you know, here in Texas. It's pretty much embarrassing because I'm embarrassed being a Southern white man. And this guy's name is Gunslinger. So I'm like, oh, here we go. Got my gunslinger out there. I'm picturing one of those cheesy $10 cowboy hats. I don't know. It's ridiculous. But it is what it is. So this gunslinger guy is telling the story to Jerry, again, talking about seeing this peg leg thing. Now, he says, well, he's talking to this dude. And I'm guessing this is when Jerry was probably still driving a truck. So they're just sitting there discussing it. But because apparently this guy had no idea that Jerry was writing a book or, you know, compiling these stories and all this stuff. So this gunslinger guy tells the story that back in February of 98, towards the end of February, he gives it the 27th. And it was in the afternoon. He said that he'd loaded up there in St. Louis. He was heading towards Chicago, which there we go again. Heading back up to Chicago, you know, so that he was getting closer to Alton, Illinois. He said he was just north of Collinsville, the way station out of Collinsville, and he spotted something on the side of the road. I said, and he could tell it was somebody. So he said he starts slowing down, and he even quoted saying that I took my foot out of the carburetor. He said I threw on the Jake brake, not knowing if this thing was going to cross the road. Now, for those of you that don't know what a Jake brake is, if you're ever in town and you hear those 18-wheelers go by and it gives a bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop, that's an air brake that they're using where they don't have to actually press in on the brakes. It's a compression. It doesn't, I'm wrong in saying, but it's a compression brake instead of the air brake. So, you know, it's slowing the truck down. So this gunslinger character said that he sees all this. And the reason he knows all this is because he jotted this down. It had such an effect on him. And he jotted this all down in his logbook that he's talking about it. And so he gets his logbook out and gives it to Jerry. And he's like, look. So Jerry flips through it. And he says, written in the logbook, besides all of his other stuff, is written strange, wild-looking man seen. And he said, you flip over the page, and it's written, this thing was big, hairy, and almost looked fake until it moved. Now, what this gunslinger fella goes on to describe is he said it was close to 7 foot tall. It had long hair that covered its face and its arms. And he said it had a peg leg just below the right knee. And he said it was wearing not only torn-up clothes, guys, but out-of-date torn-up clothes. He said that it didn't move until the truck got right up to it. And he goes, now, it was going fairly slow. So he goes, I got a really good look at this thing. And he said, I didn't think it was real. I thought, you know, it looks fake until it turned to look right at him. And he said, when it turned to look my way, he goes, I don't even know what I saw. He goes, instantly in my mind, I thought of some crazy wild creature. And he goes, but I know it wasn't just a normal hitchhiker. Not at all. He said, so what I saw, and he doesn't really describe its face. You know, that's and I guess that's the thing is when he says hairy, I guess he's still going on the lines of like everything else. You know, he's got long hair. He said it had its face and arms covered and all this. But he doesn't really go into depth. Like I'm thinking, is it Chewbacca? Is it like a peg leg hitchhiking Chewbacca? Is that what we're seeing? So he goes on to talk about this. So he's jotted all this stuff down. So he kept some really serious notes. So if you didn't see it, it wasn't real, and you were just going to bullshit somebody, why would you take all these notes and go, man, I hope in 2 or 3 years somebody sets me down to buy me some coffee south of DFW in Texas and ask me about this so I can really BS them. You know, that's what I'm hoping happens. So the notes that were written in that logbook, if this story is, you know, not hogwash, the notes that were written in that really do make you think. Now, there's another one that he talked about. He said that Jerry had interviewed a fella named Brad, and that Brad was an owner-operator. So he had his own truck, his own stuff, this whole thing. And he's talking about in March of the year 2000, another 18 years ago, that this guy Brad spotted a strange dude walking. He said, standing along I-44 outside of Big Cabin, Oklahoma. And what he describes was, he says, this thing was tall and hairy and had a wooden leg. He said, I thought it was just a homeless guy or a bum. He said, so I kind of freaked out. And it just turned and stared at me. And it's, so you're talking about a large, hairy, wooden leg having Chewbacca standing on the side of the road in Oklahoma now. And it doesn't just stop. There's another report that took place in Boonville, Missouri, in the midsummer of 2000. And here's, oddly enough, this fellow reports, this guy's name's Doug, and it was he and his wife. And of course, they're a team drivers of all this stuff too. And oddly enough, it was just right past a rest station whenever he said this. And Doug is even quoted saying that this man, or whatever it was, didn't act like a hitchhiker or doing anything. Said no vehicles were broken down within miles. And he said, to be honest, it looked like a huge scarecrow. He said it had an artificial leg and a lot of hair. Now, the wife wouldn't even talk about it. And Jerry said he talked to her. Only thing that she would ever say was that it scared me to death. That's the only thing that she would discuss about seeing this. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it's one thing to try to, you know, one or two people seeing something like this, but these people have no idea. Jerry goes on to say that they don't discuss this over CBs. Like, it's not somebody, you know, they're not radioing in, did you see that? Did you see this? Because you don't want that getting out. You don't want your sanity, or you don't want your mental stability questioned when you're behind the wheel of something the size of an 18-wheeler, because you could possibly lose, you know, your license, your job, the whole deal. So when you have these people that are separated, that are only linked, let's say, by work and only linked by this peg-legged Bigfoot, it starts getting strange. These sightings, the threads that bind this together start getting strange. Now, there's another one that isn't a truck driver, and this is a very interesting thing that he talks about. And this took place again, folks, in Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee. This was back in 2003, one evening, and this was seen by a pastor named Jim Washington. Now, Jim talks about going down south of Johnson City, Tennessee. He said there's a small town called Irwin. And he said just outside of the town, and he calls it Unico, that he says that he saw what he thought was a large crippled man that was very hairy just on the side of the road. And he, of course, you know, he's like, he's concerned, right? So he's a pastor. He's like, man, what is this about? So he takes the exit. He goes past him. He sees this guy on the side of the road. So he takes the exit, turns around where he'd known he had seen this, pulled back up to where he knew where the guy was, because he's going, you know, he wants to go find out. And he's even quoted saying, I felt sorry for him and I wanted to help him. So I turned the car around. He said, it took me no more than 3 minutes to get turned around. This thing, this guy was gone. And he said, now this was so wild and strange looking. He said, and of course it had an obvious disfigurement because it was missing a leg. He says, so I can't imagine anyone just routinely picking him up. And he goes, but here's another odd thing that he adds. Now, of course, he never found it. You know, he goes back, he parks, he gets out, he walks around. He's like, the dude's not there. He didn't run off to the side of the road and hide, nothing. He's like, the guy's not there. But here's what's wild. He says that the look on this thing's face, it appeared to be lost. Now, that's why I put forward to y'all when we started this little venture of waking up in a place that you don't recognize. And it's because you don't have, you know, amnesia. You're not just, it's the fact that you were just created from a thought that this is something, and that you are stuck in this level or this plane that you're stuck in. And this, of course, I'm just theorizing. I'm just talking out my ass. Imagine that lost look. They don't know to ask for help. Maybe it's moving slow when it turns its head, but in its reality, it's moving at normal speed, and everything that's going past it is going extremely fast, kind of like a sloth. You know, the sloth moves at sloth speed. It doesn't know what fast is like because that's just the speed it has. Everything else around it moves really, really fast. It's like, oh my goodness, look how fast it is. Whereas when a cheetah runs, everything else to a cheetah runs really, really slow. So it's wondering why everything ain't as fast as it is. So you look at these things, it makes me wonder, if it's a Bigfoot, then it actually has clothing. It actually has the ability to create an appendage to help it out, whatever it is. Now, if it's a troll, it doesn't fit the same troll talk. is I would think, as we've discussed, you know, when we talk about this, like the very first where the woman talks about seeing around Halloween, she said its face looked like an apple, like a rotten apple. That doesn't describe any of these others, you know, but what she does describe is a lot of what was seen by these truckers years and years before. So I just wonder if any of you listening have ever seen anything like that, or you know of a loved one that trucks around this area. If you know of anybody that drives a truck in Tennessee or Missouri or up around Chicago or anything along those lines, ask them. Pull them aside and ask them what they know. Ask them if they've had any encounters. Ask them if they know of anyone that's had any encounters. I'm curious as to see why this has died, why this isn't springing up any more than it has. It seems to be a little tiny flap of strangeness. And I'm very curious as to why it seemed to be, you know, just a few years, you know, from 81 to 96, the one guy sees it. And then, you know, up until 2008, and then it seems like there's nothing. It's like that was it. So did this creature have a very short lifespan or so, or is this something still going on, or was it forgotten about? And when it's forgotten about, it dissolves away, you know, like a tulpa. What happened to this thing? Because it doesn't fit any other cryptozoological creature we've ever covered. It doesn't fit Hat Man or Shadow Man or anything. This is a standalone thing of a troll, Chewbacca, hobo, homeless, peg-legged pirate, like Chewbacca pirate is what it is. Bigfoot, Chewbacca, homeless pirate, I guess would be the best way to put it. I don't really know. So I hope you enjoyed that, because this is something that I don't know. I'm fascinated by this thing. I'm fascinated by a lot of stuff, but these little flaps of fringe topics inside of the fringe topics are the things that I like to look into. So if any of y'all have got any other stories about this, y'all know how to get a hold of us. You know how to email us. Hit us up. Let us know. Shoot us some messages. I would like to know. And if any of you out there listening, any of you truckers listening, and you've had some really wild stories, or even not even that wild, if it's just something that you can't quite explain, you saw something that you're not really sure of yourself and you're thinking it's nothing and you've played it off, but you still have that little scratch in the back of your head, shoot me a message or shoot me an email. Let us know about this. I would like to see some more things, because y'all cover a lot of territory at lots of different hours of the night and lots of different places. So you get a good view of a lot of things. So I hope you enjoyed it, because I really enjoyed discussing it. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, me and Philly will punch this puppy out. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And there we are, y'all.
Yes, yes.
Trolls. We're getting closer and closer to troll season.
Man, I wish they would make another Troll Hunter.
Now, they made Troll, but it wasn't near as good as Troll Hunter.
Right. That's right. And then what was the one a long time ago with the troll had a little ring, remember?
Oh, what was it?
Stab you with his ring, and then you'd become a troll.
Wasn't it just called Troll?
I think it was just Troll. And there was a second one, but the first one was the best one.
Yeah. It was creepy.
It was very creepy.
It was very, very creepy.
I think it was a little blonde girl from like the Poltergeist that was in it.
Was she the one that was in there?
I think, I don't know, maybe I'm confusing two different movies.
There's been so many movies with little blonde girls in them.
Speaking of trolls, speaking of goblins, check this out. Lon sent me this. He said he found this story where there was a creature that was observed in Spain.
Oh, lay it on us.
At the beginning of this last century. And from the description, he says it may have been more alien than terrestrial. But check this out. It says, on the one day at the end of February in 1907, an entity dressed in tight, dark clothes with a little body and a disproportionately large head, according to a man named Isaac Gutierrez, who is a priest, he filed an official report on the matter in Spain. He said this thing did not walk. It floated just above the ground, accompanied by two flying spheres that shone with an intensely bright light. Everybody who saw or heard the creature moving along the dusty village roads stared at it, astonished and then, of course, frightened, running out of its path or into their houses to shut the mysterious menace out. Against all odds, Father Jimenez found a living witness to the incident, a 93-year-old Serafina Berejano Rubio. When asked whether she had seen the strange creature with her own eyes, she said, "Yes, son, I did. I must have been 9 years old, and I remember everything as if it had happened today." That person appeared on three consecutive days, that person meaning that creature. It flew in, not very high up, followed by two powerful round lights. It hardly ever made a sound, but sometimes it shouted. prompted to clarify this last sentence, the older woman went on to say, yes, it shouted. It was like, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. I guess it's like Al Pacino. I don't know. And it was really scary. People gathered in that little area down there, and we saw how the demon floated over to that clump of trees opposite. On one occasion, it got close to the cemetery. We were all very afraid. We were all frightened of him. Then one day, he didn't come back again. And that's why the name Duende, or Goblin, stuck. They say that the priest got rid of him and that they ended up in a fight. But that's something I wouldn't know. It was dressed in black and really small, like a monkey. I was like 9 years old, but I was never able to forget it. Now, Isaac Gutierrez's written report, he mentioned the panic that gripped the community in the last week of February of 1907. He said there wasn't a soul in the street at 7 o'clock in the evening. Men, women, and children left whatever they were doing and locked themselves into their homes, refusing to even go to church. And other people wrote about this stuff. So this was a case that happened in 1907, and they don't know what the townsfolk saw, but multiple witnesses saw this little goblin, Duende, float down the streets, and it was shouting at people. But like 3 days. What the heck could that have been? It kind of reminds
hilarious.
Me of like, it reminds me of like the Flatwoods Monster and stuff like that, you know, where it just appeared out of nowhere. And I know that Lon's right. It sounds like it could be something extraterrestrial more than goblin or fae folk. But either way, did the priest really fight it, or did they do some kind of ceremony and they, you know, they dispatched it? Was it a demon? I don't know.
Might've just dispatched it.
And of course it happened so long ago. You know, it's really hard to prove whether it was real or not, but there's written documentation of it. And obviously the woman who was 92 years old, when questioned, she remembers it as a little girl. This happened in Spain. What was the name of the town? Hold on. Ladriar, Spain. I don't know. Interesting story. Thanks for sending that along.
Well, I had found something that we had talked about a while back and I hadn't touched on, and now's the best time to bring it up real quick. Now that you're talking about that, is that we had done it years and years ago, and have talked to people about it, about the gnomes that they had seen driving in Wallington Park there in Nottingham.
Yeah, the little ones.
Yeah, back in 79. I've been looking at it. What better time to discuss it coming up? It's at the end of next month, of course, but October 29th was when the sighting went down.
Really?
I'm going to run it down real quick, folks. It said the witnesses were a small group of children aged 8 to 10, and the events took place in September of 1979 in Wallington Park in Nottingham. They were in the park grounds at 8:30 p.m. when it was getting dark, but there was still some light to see by. In a swampy area with trees fenced off to stop the public from entering, the children saw about 60 little men, about half of them, or about half as tall as themselves. They had long white beards with red tips and wrinkled faces. They wore caps on their heads, described as being like old-fashioned nightcaps.
Right, yeah.
Naughty like style. Over, yeah. With a bauble on the end. They also wore blue tops and yellow tights. For most of the 15 minutes that the children spent with them, the little men were in cars. There were 30 cars with two men in each. The cars didn't have steering wheels, but a round thing with a handle to turn. There was no sound of engines, but they traveled fast and could jump over obstacles like logs. They were also seen up in trees, coming out and returning to holes. The children felt that they could only come out after dark. Despite the disbelief of their parents when told about the little men, the children were adamant that they were not making up stories. They had also claimed to have seen the little people before during the long summer holiday. Their headmaster interviewed and recorded them separately soon after, and despite a few discrepancies in their accounts and differences of emphasis, the children do sound truthful.
Yeah, see, and why is it always children get to see them? I'd love to have an encounter like that, for real. Wouldn't you?
The idea of that. Yes, the idea of that is amazing.
If I could have one encounter with anything we've discussed on this crazy show of ours, it would have to be Fae.
Yeah, I would want it to be like the gnomes or the Duendes or the little hunters or the little people. I want it to be that in the woods. And it's because I like the romantic idea of them being still like caretakers of the woods.
I agree. Well, if you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam and the listeners, don't hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. If you want to help Expanded Perspectives and you want more content, just head over to Patreon, search up Expanded Perspectives Elite, and you can join us over there and you'll get more episodes and you'll be helping out the show. Cam,
yeah, sure,
got anything big planned for the week? You got a lot coming up.
I have a lot of stuff coming
up. You're going out of town.
Going out of town this month, coming up quick. Let's see. Yeah, going out of town this month for my wife's birthday.
You're
going
to be up in Oklahoma, so be looking for red-eyed, glowing things stalking you.
I will absolutely will not be looking for that. I'm not going out digging around in any of that stuff. No, I think we're going to swing by Broken Bow and do a little fishing while we're up through that area. Just have a little trip of it. Yeah, and then, yeah, we've got a lot of traveling coming up pretty quick.
That sounds fun, man. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I know what I'm doing. I forgot.
Here we go.
My mom's going to Mexico.
And it's time for the pop.
I got to babysit Pop. So we're going to be going to the cigar shops. I'm going to have to cook him some steaks because my mom hates steaks, so she never makes it.
Nice.
And I might even take him deer hunting with me if I can get him out there in his buggy. Get him in a stool.
Yeah.
Back him in there. Brush him in.
Yeah.
And he could watch maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We might do something like that, but that's about it.
That might be the move right there.
I'm going
there.
To see.
We got to make sure there's no pigs. We can't leave Pop for the pigs, man.
Imagine him running on the scooter.
No, they're after him. He's just gassing it down the road.
The turkey aren't scared of his scooter.
No.
They chase him.
He's the turkey whisperer.
Yeah. I know I'm going to see American Werewolf in London in Mansfield with Luke. So I know I'm doing that too.
That'll be cool.
That's about it. That's about all the time for the show, folks. Till next week, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.